This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Roger Goodell is so busy, he's been almost invisible. But don't you worry, his fingerprints are all over what the NFL is doing. He's busy firing off memos every day, every week. I did hear over the weekend that it doesn't seem like, or it doesn't appear as though, the Titans are going to get hammered by the NFL for violating COVID protocols. So that may be a bit of a reversal, or maybe the original reports we heard were just wishful thinking by competitors. And so Roger Goodell's been busy. The NFL is moving along. It's the world that we live in now. Every sport has other factors that come into play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've put up our Monday MVP poll on both Twitter and Facebook. And so you can find it, A Law Radio on Twitter or on our Facebook page. And I also put up a couple of posts, one about baseball and sincere questions. So no snark is required. Sincere question about your interest level in the Fall Classic. But also on Twitter, I just put up a question about the NFL in week 6 and what stands out. And you're already bombarding us on social media, which is cool. Glad you're part of the conversation. We'll get to your phone calls coming up this hour, 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. You're going to have to wait, though, because we're really excited to welcome Kevin Harlan of Westwood One, CBS, TNT, from Dallas, where he landed not that long ago after calling the Patriots-Broncos game in New England on Sunday afternoon. Excited to have a couple of minutes with Kevin for the first time this season. And Kevin, these are such unpredictable and unprecedented circumstances. We say that all the time. The Patriots go through roughly 2 weeks. They only have one practice in person because of COVID protocols. And then we get this game against Denver that is a festival of field goals. How much did it appear to you like the Patriots were out of sync?
Oh, they clearly were, Amy. And we knew they were going to have some issues. I think Bill Belichick even knew during the week. I mean, he had never coached anything like this. None of these coaches have, but in particular Bill, who only had one full practice and then a walkthrough on Saturday, and that was even tempered. We went into the weekend uncertain if the game was even going to be played because Right. Another couple linemen tested positive. So, I mean, you know, they made a switch at halftime. They switched two guys at halftime. They had guys in completely different positions this week than last. They were down, you know, Andrews is the center, he's gone, and Shaq Mason is gone, and Ferentz is gone, and they lost to Luminor today. He was a starter. So I don't know how they were even able to operate, to be quite honest. And I said this to Trent Green, my partner on CBS today. I said, you know, this really gives credence to the importance of practice. You need to practice. You've got to get timing. You've got to be in that state where you're into the playbook, into the plays, in practice, focused on the game all week long. You can't just hodgepodge your way through a week and expect to play. Even a team with the culture and the definition of the New England Patriots, and it showed today. So the messages and the things learned out of this pandemic and COVID cases and testing and quarantining, Amy, are immense, and they're going to carry from this point forward. Other teams are watching every other team with great interest in trying to learn what they're doing or what they're not doing, in trying to avoid or embrace. It's It is literally hour to hour in this league right now.
And yet I like the way that Vic Fangio put it, and it's fitting, of course, because the Broncos were waiting to find out if there would be a game. He said these types of delays and changes, this adversity, it separates the bitchers and the complainers and the whiners.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want our team to be like that. And so, I mean, it takes six field goals, but they come away with a win.
They come away with the win and a quarterback who had missed a couple games, and he probably wasn't as sharp as he wanted to be. But what stood out about the Broncos today with Drew Lock, their quarterback out of Missouri, just in his second year, he ended last year 4-1. And Elway, I think, in drafting him, thought this may be the guy. He was probably pretty sure he was the guy at the end of last year. And then he got hurt in the Pittsburgh game earlier, hurt his shoulder, sat out, came back in Foxborough. And regardless of what he was going to face in the Patriots, it's still the road. It's still the New England Patriots, and it's still Bill Belichick and his defense. And they attacked him. Denver did not blink today whatsoever. Now, here's the thing. They have been practicing in Denver over the last 2 weeks waiting for this game because, you know, they had no COVID tests.
Right.
They had no positive results. And so they were able to keep the facility open and practice, and that's something that New England could not do. So the more competent team, the more focused team perhaps was Denver, and they came out of it with a win. Ugly game, but they won nonetheless, and this probably saved the first part of their season. Had they lost today against a team like Kansas City and maybe even an expanding Raiders team, it would have been tough in that division. So what they've done is they've checked the box for the first, you know, quarter of the season, and they said, we are legitimate, we've got a chance.
Kevin Harlan called the game on CBS on Sunday and then made the trip to Dallas for Monday Night Football in Westwood One, the Cowboys and the Cardinals, and it's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Dallas had its season take a sudden and abrupt turn, of course, with the loss of Dak Prescott, and now they've got Andy Dalton, and it's a completely different situation for Mike McCarthy. So as you are prepping and getting ready, I mean, it's a good thing you have a quarterback alongside you, huh?
Well, he knows quarterbacking. Kurt Warner has been down this road. He knows what it's like to take the place of a starter. He knows what injuries are like. I mean, he knows every part from A to Z, tip to tail. He's been through it. He's done it. And to be quite honest, Dallas is probably just thinking they're lucky stars that they went out and were aggressive enough and signed Dalton,
sure.
Texas kid, played at TCU. You know, he had the 10 years up in Cincinnati. And for Andy, I think this is a nice landing spot. But for the Cowboys, how lucky are they to get a veteran quarterback who has, you know, good big game experience, playoff experience, and wanted to play here and knew his role coming in. And sure enough, here he is in basically the beginning of the season, taking a hold of this very powerful, you know, high energy offense of the Cowboys. So I don't think Dallas is going to blink. I think they're going to just continue to go out. They hate to lose Dak. Dak was off to a terrific start. His numbers were, you know, out of sight. But, you know, he's not here, and Dalton is, and it was worth the money they spent to sign him and not let him get to any other team. And this is why you get the good backups on a good team. You don't want to miss a beat. And the Cowboys feel they won't with Andy Dalton.
So the Dallas Cowboys are allowing fans at AT&T Stadium, and we've seen their crowds kind of increase. But, Kevin, you were in the NBA bubble for five-plus weeks. You've done games in stadiums with no fans. What's stranger, an NBA arena without any spectators or an NFL stadium?
Well, the NFL stadium by far. In the NBA bubble in Orlando, every inch of that little arena was covered with either scoreboards or video boards or lights or all kinds of stuff. It was like a gigantic TV studio, and every inch was accounted for. So it felt full with the virtual screens and all the other things that the NBA, you know, just magically put together. And the NFL is, you know, so empty, and it really is. In fact, I'll be honest. And I was talking about this with someone the other day. It almost is getting, you know, more noticeable the longer the season goes on. When we first began, you know, you're excited that the season's even kicking off.
Yes.
And sure enough, it did. You know, now we're five, 6 weeks into the season, And it's beginning to really, you know, kind of, I think, affect people. I don't think it's affecting the players, but they do miss the emotion. I know as a broadcaster, you look around and you feed off of that, and it becomes like the background of a picture. A picture is only great with a great background, and a singer is only great with a great orchestra. Well, a broadcast really has more oomph when they've got, you know, the crowd and the roar of the crowd in the back of a call, and they serve as that symphony, that background, and you need them, and we don't have them, and it's just weird, and it just does not feel the same, and it's almost getting worse as the season's going on, just personally. I mean, I miss it more and more each and every week.
And yet Dallas, those fans actually make some noise because, and
yes,
I guess it
do.
Was most noticeable, right, when after, so the real contrast was Dak Prescott catching a touchdown late in the first half of week number 5. And then, of course, what, 30 minutes of actual time later, the fans go completely silent when he breaks his ankle. And so maybe there you'll feel some of that come Monday night.
Yeah, they're going to have 25,000 Monday night.
Wow.
Against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are, you know, a 3-2 team, and they've got an explosive offense. And they're kind of, I think they've turned the corner. They've got some playmakers. They've got some speed. And they feel they've got the quarterback and a very smart coach calling plays. So that's a tough team coming in Dallas. And the Cowboys, you know, have been lights out with offense and just been god-awful with their defense. So that's their problem. And then you've got the 25,000 fans, which are right now the most in the NFL, although I think the Dolphins are going to work on that because I think they just kind of cleared the way for more fans to go in Hard Rock Stadium. So it's changing a little bit. I see Denver next week is going to allow more fans. Kansas City has allowed 17, 18, 19,000 fans. Bit by bit, I think we're going to approach some numbers that will make it at least feel somewhat normal with the crowd and with the presence of what passionate fans can do for the home team and just make it just feel a little bit more normal, I think, when they're in the seats.
For sure. Kevin Harlan with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You've seen a bunch of teams already into week number 6. And what's impressed me about the season is not only that teams are so bunched up, I mean, it's a topsy-turvy kind of a year, but also there are some really impressive defenses out there. So Pittsburgh, I know you've seen Chicago, and as much as they've made their quarterback change, their defense is the MVP. Even the Buccaneers, yes, they've got Tom Brady, but man, that defense bails them out a bunch. So what kind what defenses have you seen that impress you?
Well, you mentioned Tampa Bay, and I saw them in Chicago at Soldier Field last week, and Lavonte David, they got some nice players. They lost a big defensive lineman in that Chicago game, and that's going to hurt them a little bit. But overall, the Tampa Bay defense is strong. Chicago's defense is strong, and Khalil Mack is kind of back to what he was a couple years ago when the Raiders traded him to Chicago. You're seeing some defenses that have been impressive. You're also seeing defenses that are just pitiful, and Dallas is one of them, as I mentioned before. So you know, it's been a strange season, I think, almost, Amy, in every way. And I don't know if the lack of preseason games and preseason hitting and all the things that happened during the offseason and OTAs, the accumulation of all of that is still affecting the game. I'd like to think by, say, November 1st, we're beyond all the issues. We have more normalcy on the field. Maybe things have flattened a little bit. Offenses are a little bit more equal to the defenses. And the other thing that I've noticed, too, is the officiating, because it looks like they're being a little bit more lenient on some plays.
Yes.
Than in the past they haven't been. And I think it's making for a faster game. You know, a less stop and start game, and the flow is better. I feel it in the booth. I think they feel it on the field. And this, again, you know, out of every issue, out of every challenge, whether it's in sports or life, there's always something that evolves and emerges and comes out of it that you can say, well, because of this, that happened. And so I think, you know, we could see, you know, maybe a little bit of altering in the way games are called on the field. We're going to see probably some different ways to train and to conduct, you know, off-season conditioning, off-season meetings. I think there's a world of things that will emerge out of this. Uncomfortable now as you learn to grow into them.
Right.
But eventually will be incorporated into how the NFL and in all the sports, NBA and all the others, will work from this point forward.
Hindsight is 2020, and we have the benefit now of seeing both the NHL and the NBA and what they did in their respective bubbles. Baseball has managed to kind of set up these pseudo bubbles, and they're into their World Series now. NFL is obviously early and kind of dealing with some obstacles and hurdles. But going back to your time in the bubble in Orlando, Kevin, what impressed you the most about the way that the NBA pulled that off?
Well, everything. I mean, the one thing they could not account for that they tried to help was just the mental hygiene of the players, you know, not being with families, not being with loved ones for the most part, being in a place where they couldn't get in a car and drive. They were in an area that had limitations. Mm. They saw a lot of one another. I mean, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of team. And so, you know, out of that, I think there were some players that dealt with it well and were more focused. I think LeBron was one of them. And I think there are other players that perhaps struggled and did not react well to it. And teams did not react well to it. Milwaukee, I think, was one of them. Now, on top of all that were all the social issues that were going on, and they weighed heavily on these kids' minds. And so that just added to the mental side of it. Physically, you know, they didn't have to travel. They slept in the same bed. They got used to the food. You know, and it was like a laboratory. It was like an environment that was the same for all the teams. And so I always felt that out of that, you know, with certainly a regard to the mental side of it, but we're going to get true champions out of this. We're going to get the best teams. They're not dealing with a vicious crowd on the road, a weird travel schedule or whatever. It's the same for all the teams. They're all in the same kind of hotel, same kind of food, same kind of activities. Everything's the same. It's like a laboratory. Mm. And sure enough, we saw some teams really rise, like Denver and Miami. And then we saw a team like the Lakers, who everybody thought was the best, turn out to be the best. But what's impressive is just how Adam Silver, just and the group he has that works with him in New York, how they think outside the box, how they leave all things open for discussion. They are always finding new ways to better what they have, to tweak what they need to, and to improve where there's a deficiency. And so they never rested on this is the way it's going to be for the next. You know, they were constantly evolving with the presentation, whether it was a new floor, whether it was more virtual fans, whether it was music, whether it was more crowd noise, whatever it was, they were always fine-tuning and attention to detail. And sometimes it was the smallest little detail that mattered. And that's gonna, you know, that's Adam Silver. I mean, that's the NBA. They got it. The players bought in. They bought into the bubble. Now the NFL, as they go through this season, and as we get down now to the, you know, to the playoffs in late December, January, they may decide, you know what, we're going to bubble our teams too. We're going to have a couple locations. We're going to have teams stay in hotels for the week. You'll stay for 2 weeks if you win, and you'll continue that way. And I do think that the NCAA tournament, and I heard this over the weekend, they're thinking about now, you know, four big pods and putting a lot of teams, say, like in Indianapolis, where you could play in the home of the Colts and in the home of the Pacers. In Houston, you could play where the Texans play, and you could put teams where the Rockets play. You could really, you know, bubble these different things so the COVID cases are held to a minimum, the safety and the health of the players and the staff is always recognized, and they get the games off in a pandemic.
It's become a verb, bubble. You bubble up.
Yeah.
I like that. So before I let you go, one more question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
There are some people who say that because of everything that's happened in 2020 and because everything's so out of the ordinary and off the beaten path, that all of these championships or even these seasons deserve an asterisk. You're going to have a taste of so many of these different sports. What's your response to that, Kevin?
Well, I don't know how you're ever going to forget this because it was so unusual. The NFL is traveling. Baseball did travel. Hockey was bubbleized, and the NBA was put in a bubble. you know, we missed the fans, and there was kind of a sterile environment. Now, stadiums have done a good job here in Foxborough today on the Sunday. in the game we did, you know, this afternoon, they're pumping in music and they've got, you know, the scoreboard showing things that if the fans were there, they would play. So they're trying to make it as normal for the players as possible. But the bottom line is, it's going to be different. Now, I would look at an asterisk like if they did not play a 16-game NFL schedule and they played 14 or they played 12. The NBA will have an asterisk because they played less regular season games and they had a play-in thing, and so they changed the format a little bit, and so that will make it structurally different. Right now, the NFL is not structurally different.
Right.
Right now, the NFL is in its season, traveling teams, playing basically on the day they were scheduled, and we're just going to have to wait week to week and see how this transpires. NBA asterisk, NHL asterisk, baseball asterisk, and right now, the NFL probably is saying, we're going full steam ahead unless we have a disruption and we play fewer than 16. Mm. Otherwise, it'll be in the record books, and that's what we're going to have.
But make no plans for February because the Super Bowl could get pushed back, and everybody's just going to have to wait on the NFL. So Kevin Harlan, you'll hear him on Westwood One on Monday evening doing the Cowboys and the Cardinals and some real fans there at AT&T Stadium. Of course, he's on CBS, and you hear him on TNT as well. It's always good to catch up with you, Kevin. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Big fan of yours, Amy. Thank you so much. Always great to visit with you. Take care.
Well, that's a huge compliment. When Kevin Harlan says he's a big fan, whoo, I feel like I could just quit right now. Quit while I'm ahead. Why don't I? Interesting what he says about how all the other sports that didn't finish their regular season or tweak the format, changed what they normally do, should have an asterisk. That would include pretty much everything else except for football. Right? So that I haven't heard anybody say that before, but I like what he talked about with the NBA and the NHL in a laboratory.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mack gives the signal. Devontae goes in motion behind him. Mack looks right. Pressure's coming. He'll throw long. Waddle's got it behind the defense. Leaves the DB on the ground. There you go. You ask, you get. 90 yards. Tyson Campbell wondering what happened to Jaylen Waddle as he left him behind for the touchdown. Forrestall on the left side. Two wides to the near. Now Forrestall comes to the right side of the formation. Here's the snap. Mack looks. End zone. Up goes Devontae. Touchdown! Wow! Over the head of the defensive back.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Is Alabama turning into a second-half team? Maybe Alabama is already there, actually trailing at the half against number 3 Georgia on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, and yet pitching a shutout in the second half. And Jaylen Waddle goes 90 yards on a pass from Mac Jones. That was midway through the third quarter. Najee Harris gets into it with a 2-yard touchdown run. Jones himself has become one of the candidates for a Heisman. It's early, and we're just now starting to get into kind of the meat of the season. But 4 touchdowns, 417 yards for him, and the Alabama defense producing a couple of turnovers in the second half as well against the Bulldogs. And so the Tide remain undefeated, and they take out one of their top competitors in the SEC. But honestly, the major story around this game, even as you hear Eli Gold's calls on the Learfield IMG Sports Network, the status of Nick Saban and the test that he had to go through daily, and then even a couple on Friday, Saturday, just to be able to join his team before they took the field.
The norm now is disruption. It's the norm. It's going to happen. And we knew that when we went into the season, and I'm really, really pleased with the way the players managed, you know, the disruption of this week.
Nick Saban believed that he had suffered a false positive, or that he had been the victim of a false positive test, because he never had any symptoms. And that's not really what we heard from him. I think he was trying to kind of keep that to himself, but he was asymptomatic the entire time. And so he had to go through a series of tests, and they all had to come back negative. And then there was actually another test over the weekend that was almost considered to be like a fail safe. He passed every single test. They all came back negative. And so he was able to rejoin the team actually at the hotel going through final preparations. And Mac Jones said he surprised them when he walked into their meeting room and just sat down and dived in, but that it really gave them such a lift to have him there when they didn't know whether or not Coach Saban would be part of the whole process. And so he passed all these tests. He shows up at the hotel, and according to different players, their confidence just went through the roof when he showed up. So good for Nick Saban. I mean, regardless of what happened in the game, I'm just glad that Nick Saban is healthy and that was a false positive, and he was able to be back with his team on Saturday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There were so many cool storylines and notable storylines from what was another nutty sports weekend. But I got to tell you, there's one that really stands out from the rest. I'll let you hear it and I'll talk about it once we get through our break. And I definitely am going to take your calls at our very next segment. So 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. A lot of you weighing in about what stands out week six in the NFL. You're also responding to my conversation with Kevin Harlan, which is good news. And then on Facebook, typical to Facebook, you're blowing it up. I feel like some of you have way too much time on your hands. I'm just teasing. I'm glad that your time is spent with us here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And Tua has the helmet on. Are we going to see him for the first time? There he goes. And a big ovation as Tua Tagovailoa trots on the field for the first time.
It wasn't more so butterflies, it was just excitement to just get out there and, you know, see what plays that Chan would give me to run with the offense. But it was really fun.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
That is the moment that will stand out for me. Even as I ask you, what stands out for you from week six in the NFL? This is the moment that will stand out for me. Roughly 11 months after Tua Tagovailoa suffered what was a potentially career-ending hip injury on the field playing for the Alabama Crimson Tide, he trots onto the field in South Florida and makes his debut. Just a couple of passes, but Brian Flores allows him to go out there and enter the game for the first time. And the cool thing was how much that moment was appreciated, not just by the fans there in Miami. In fact, those were the loudest roars of the entire game, even though it was late in what was a shutout of the Dolphins against their division rival, the Jets. They were actually chanting his name, and Tua said because it was relatively quiet there, he could hear it. And then if you watch the sidelines, the other Dolphins players were jumping up and down. They were trying to get the crowd into it. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who would have every reason to not support Tua because that man is going to take his job soon. Even Fitzpatrick is flapping his arms up and down, trying to incite the crowd. I mean, it was such a cool moment. It made me emotional watching it. So you hear Tua enter the game on CBS, the call there, and then also him saying it wasn't so much the nerves, just the excitement. And if you missed this, also very emotional. Once all the fans had emptied out of the stadium, and there was nobody in there except a security guard. That's all I saw on the pictures, one security guard. Tua plops down at the spot, roughly the 15-yard line, where the Dolphins wrapped up that final drive, that final possession, and he FaceTimes with his parents. And they couldn't be there, so he wanted to bring them inside the stadium for what was a momentous occasion.
I ended up FaceTiming my parents because they couldn't be here. That's usually how it goes. I usually talk to my parents, after the game. And my parents usually never miss my game. So that's what I did. I went out there and I talked to them. That's what that moment was about.
He said it was emotional because of everything he and his family have been through to get to the point where he actually could throw a pass in an NFL game. And so that's amazing. And I know it's just a small thing and it's not yet Tua time, at least not permanently. But he comes back and he gets cleared in all these various stages with doctors and with team trainers, and now has to sit and wait. And here are the Dolphins, by the way, who are 3-3 and second place in the AFC East. And so it's likely that he could spend the entire season on the sidelines, except for stolen moments here or there. It just depends on how Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins continue to play, but they're not tanking. I mean, Brian Flores is trying to get this team to the point where it's a contender, and they obviously follow him. He's like the Pied Piper in this locker room. It's been really impressive to see the changes and the trades they've made, and yet this team continues to follow, and a lot of that has to do with Fitzpatrick and his leadership and how much guys love to play with him. And so I just thought that was amazing. It moved me because I remember seeing Tua go down in a heap on the field in college, and he is a young man of faith, and he's all about his family and the sacrifices they've made, and also respectful. Everything that happened with him and Jalen Hurts at Alabama, he and Jalen handled it so well. They handled it better than most professional athletes would do. So I've gained great respect for Tua and for Jalen. And then you understand what it's like when you have a health challenge or an injury like that, and in the entire process, arduous, painful process to come back, and you're constantly beating back the doubts of whether or not it'll work, whether or not it's worth it. No doubt Dak Prescott is going to have to go through that process, as every athlete does. So congratulations to Tua on making his NFL debut, and I think it's just the start of something really cool there in Miami, though he's going to have to wait his turn. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving all this time on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night, or you can do the easy thing and just switch to Geico and save. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Steve, who's in Washington, D.C. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you. Number one, I want to give praise to you for bringing on Kevin Harlan. I love listening to him.
Yeah,
I don't care
awesome.
Who he's getting paid. It's not enough.
Yeah, he's so good.
Oh, my God, I love him. The other thing is, I want to talk about the team here, my team, Washington football team.
Okay.
We were in a position where, as though we benched Dwayne Haskins, justifiably so, or whatever the situation is. At the end of the day, we haven't gotten better. And so I want your thoughts on the makeshift of what's going on here, like, because Ron Rivera has thrown Dwayne Haskins pretty much under the bus. And from what we see here is the team hasn't gotten any better. At the end of the day, Amy, we cannot score any points. Hmm. Period. Like the last two games, we scoring like 10 points. And I know the offensive line here is bad. But we threw Dwayne Haskins under the bus for four straight weeks. And now it's the offensive line. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, thank you, Steve. I think the whole entire franchise is up for scrutiny and is up for debate. I mean, everybody is playing for jobs right now, other than Ron Rivera, of course, because he's the one that's been brought in to change the culture and to create a winning atmosphere, but also to pick and choose the guys that he believes are a fit for his system and a fit for what he wants to do. So I will just be honest with you. I don't exactly know what's happening at the quarterback position. He says that this is not an indictment of Dwayne Haskins, that he hasn't really had an opportunity to evaluate him fully because they didn't have a preseason and because there's no way this young quarterback could be comfortable in his system. But he looks at the NFC East and he realizes there is an opportunity there. The playoff field has expanded, laugh if you will, but there is going to be a team from that division that makes the postseason by virtue of winning it. And who knows what could happen. And so he goes with a quarterback that he's familiar with, that he knows is comfortable in the system. And I would agree with you. It was kind of brutal to watch them, especially when you're playing against a team in the division that doesn't have any wins. And I don't know how you feel about Washington going for two in that final minute instead of the point after to tie it. I appreciate that they are not going to settle for a tie. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a tie, but I appreciate that Rivera is saying, like, hey, what do we have to lose? We might as well try and win it. The Giants' defense has played relatively well, but I would just say about the Washington offense, it's a work in progress. He's trying to evaluate every single area of it. It's one of those situations where you have to tear it all down to build it back up. Maybe you've seen an old house or an old building get knocked down or at least you get gutted so that they can rebuild it stronger and more efficient. And that's obviously what's happening in Washington. So anything that takes place this year, if they win a few games, it's a confidence builder, it's gravy. But honestly, it's about getting a head start or getting a jump on rebuilding. And so he's evaluating every position.
So this is more about evaluation.
Yeah,
than
absolutely.
Wins and losses.
Well, no, I mean, Ron Rivera wants to win. You know, they're trying to win games. They were obviously trying to win games when they went for two. So he is trying, but I think that it's I want to say it's secondary, but there's another goal there. I mean, there's no way, especially without an offseason, that Washington was going to be able to rebuild this team in his first year. And obviously, they don't have the kind of talent they need. He's not even sure who his quarterback is, but Haskins was handed to him. It doesn't sound like Haskins is going to be there through the end of the season if they can find a trade partner. So, yeah, whatever wins you get, those are helpful because the guys in the locker room get really excited. But honestly, it's about big picture and long term here, Steve. It's really, if you focus on the week to week, you're probably gonna be disappointed because it really is about the putting in the initial building blocks for down the road.
Thank you, Amy. I love the show.
All right, thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you in DC. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Charlton, who's in Memphis. Welcome to the show.
Before we get into my sports question, I'm a teacher's kid like you are. Tell your mother I thank her for her dedication and sacrifice.
Oh, as a teacher? Yeah, mom loves teaching for sure.
I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, have been since the late 60s, early 70s. And to quote Elmer Fudd, something very screwy is going on around here. Do you have any suggestions as far as what their problems are right now? I'm just...
Oh, gosh. I mean, it hurts that they don't have Dalvin Cook. He certainly is the catalyst for their offense. But dear Lord, what in the world is going on with Kirk Cousins? It's like he has the yips, isn't it? I mean, the fact that he can't seemingly go through a game or even a half without throwing an interception, that's got to be really frustrating. In fact, he's frustrated. I know he is. But the defense has to bear some responsibility too. Now, okay, as I say that, yes, they gave up 40 points to the Falcons, but also 17 of the first 20 points for the Falcons came off of his three interceptions. So when the defense allows that many yards, I mean, the offense put them in a difficult position. But it was a bad start. And to hear Cousins say, if I keep throwing this many picks, or if I keep throwing the ball like I am, I'm not going to make it through the season. I mean, he's already anticipating himself getting benched, which I think is fascinating.
I'm not saying Cousins is Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, but with Dalvin being out, this is proof of my old school argument that you have to have an effective running game. Well, I'm not saying you got to have an awful running back.
I agree with you. And Dalvin's been in and out of the lineup. Alexander Mattison is a really good fill-in. He didn't play well today. But here's the issue. When you put yourself in a hole, then you don't get to run the ball as much as you want to. And so I would agree that one of the major issues for the Vikings for years has been the inability to establish an effective run game and a consistent run game. But when you put yourself in that kind of a hole, and Atlanta has 17 points off turnovers in the first half, well, then you have to throw the ball. You don't really have a choice because you got to pick up yards as quickly as possible.
I'm 62 years old. Do you have any idea how many Super Bowls I've been through with this for the Vikings?
No. Oh. And yet you're still a fan. That's impressive.
So, look, I'm going to be a fan. You're a fan, good or bad.
There you go.
And thank you. Keep up these good shows. This is the one night a week. I work at the FedEx Hub here in Memphis, Monday through Friday.
Got it.
This is the one night a week I can hear your whole show.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a faithful listener, and we're happy to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's one of those strange questions that we get every year in the NFL. So do you remember, and I'll use this just as an example, in 2018, the Chargers were 12-4 and they were challenging for the AFC West, and they went on the road and they beat the Ravens in their first playoff game, right? So they were a team that appeared to be a threat and a contender, and they go into the next season, and last year they were what, 4-12? Maybe 5-11? I think they were 4-12. They went from challenging for a division title to essentially trying to stay out of the basement in their division. The Bears did it two years ago. They were first place, they won a division title, and then they tanked. And here are the Vikings, who last year were a wild card, won a playoff game in New Orleans, and now they're 1-5.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.